Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, May the 15th. Well, it feels like summer here. I mean, it's pretty warm this afternoon here in North Texas. I know it's not summer yet. We got at least another 30 or 45 days to go. But man, it sure feels like summer this Wednesday afternoon here in North Texas. Well, the big story today, big story, is what's happening in Alabama with abortion. We're gonna get into that in a minute. We're also going to talk a little bit about the reaction to the Attorney General. The reaction is getting pretty crazy from the Democrats. But let me begin with a couple of quick stories. You may have heard that President Trump is going to be making a major announcement regarding immigration on Thursday. I guess he's going to give a speech. No one knows for sure exactly what he's going to say, but the hint is that he's going to introduce an overhaul of our immigration system and move it more in the direction of merit, more of a merit-driven immigration system rather than simply uniting families. So that tends to be where he's going to go. My guess is that he's also going to talk about the new proposal by Senator Lindsey Graham of limiting the number of visas that you give at the border. I think Senator Graham is moving in the direction of telling people to seek your application in the country of origin, and then we'll look at your case after that. So I'm guessing that those are the two things that the president is going to emphasize, but specifically this merit-driven immigration system, which I think makes a lot of sense to me. Where you're basically saying, well, if you want to come to the United States, you're going to have to prove that you have some type of a skill or something that complements the country, rather than, you know, I want to move to the United States because my sister lives in Dallas or something along those lines. So we'll wait to see. We'll wait to see what the president proposes. But I think most Americans are going to favor what he's saying. I really do. I think that his proposal makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm an immigrant. I came here when I was a boy with my parents. Now, of course, we were political refugees, political immigrants, a little different than what you're seeing, let's say, from Central America, where it's more of an economic type immigration. But I think the United States has every right as a country to say these are the rules and this is how people come in. And if you want to come in, these are the rules and you got to play by them. I also think the United States has every right to have immigration laws that benefit the country economically. So we'll see what the president proposes. But so far, what I'm hearing makes a lot of sense to me. Let's talk about Alabama. This afternoon, late afternoon, the governor of Alabama went ahead and signed into law what is called the most restrictive abortion law in the United States. Of course, Alabama, a super conservative state with a Republican governor and massive Republican majority in the legislature. So it went through in pretty big numbers. And of course, it's going to be challenged. It will be challenged, I guess, as soon as they can do so. I don't know when the law goes into effect. A lot of these things go into effect the first of the next year. So I'm assuming that's the way it is here. But I don't know. I don't know for sure. But I guarantee you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be a challenge to the law. I think what we're really seeing in many ways is the counter reaction to Roe v. Wade. I always felt, and I've said it many times before, that Roe v. Wade was the worst possible way for us to resolve the abortion issue. Whether you believe that a woman has the right to have an abortion or you don't, in my case, I think abortion should not be allowed. But this should have never been settled by the Supreme Court. Because by settling at the Supreme Court, what you did is turn it into the political issue that it is right now. And you're seeing other states right now, like Georgia, Mississippi, Iowa, it'll soon happen in Texas, Louisiana as well, is talking about this, where they're putting restrictions at the state level. Now, the latest, of course, is the heartbeat law, which is a very simple law that says if you can listen to the heartbeat of a baby, you cannot have an abortion. And that, of course, is made possible by technology, which is the other factor in this whole abortion debate. We've gone from, you know, it's a woman's body, she can do whatever she wants, to now having a machine that can detect a heartbeat inside the womb in 12 weeks. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what we're seeing. And this debate is going on in several states, and let it go to the Supreme Court. I hope the Supreme Court will reverse Roe v. Wade and will simply say this is an issue that the states should deal with at their own level. And let every state have this discussion, this argument. My guess is that most states will come up with a compromise. And the compromise will be, well, maybe abortion within a certain time frame or whatever. And maybe some states will go further than that. I don't know. Maybe some states will be more like Alabama. I don't know. But at least it'll be a decision made by people, where people through the legislatures will have an opportunity to say this or that about abortion. But, I mean, Roe v. Wade was the worst possible decision that the Supreme Court could have opinion they could have written. Not only has it destroyed conversation in the United States, because it's impossible to talk about abortion anymore, but it has also turned every nomination to the Supreme Court, every nomination to the federal bench, is an argument about abortion. I mean, any judge appointed or nominated by a Republican president, the only thing they ask this person is, are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? Are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? I mean, it's like Roe v. Wade is the only issue that matters, and that shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be the case, but that is, in fact, the case on any of these appointments to the federal bench. So we'll see what happens, but I'm really hoping that this law and other laws go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will at least allow the states to impose the restrictions that they see fit. And I think that's the only way we're going to deal with this problem. I just don't see any other way, because this is going to be a very difficult topic. I just cannot believe that we can continue in a country where we abort a million lives every year, and we don't allow states to reach their own conclusion on this topic. So let's see what happens. But it's getting exciting, to say the least, in the world of abortion and politics. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website on the show information. If you look under the show description, there is a link to his website. Click on that. It'll take you to wherever he's playing around town, and he's playing in a lot of places and doing extremely well. We're very proud of our friend Carlos Guedes. On this day in history, a few things to look back. 1941, this was the day that Joe DiMaggio began the 56-game hitting streak, number one of 56 on this day in 1941. In 1972, a big political event that really shook up the country. Governor Wallace, who at the time was running in the Democrat primary, was shot in Maryland at a shopping center near Maryland. And he survived, of course, but survived, I think, on a wheelchair for the rest of his life. But he was he was an amazing political factor in 1972. And I think he won. There was a primary that he won after that, after he had been shot. And he gave an amazing, memorable, and emotional speech at the convention a few months later. And back to baseball, on this day in 1973, Nolan Ryan pitched the first of his seven no-hitters. What an amazing achievement that is. Seven no-hitters. That's an amazing achievement, to say the least. Well, they had a demonstration down in Cuba, and I just wanted to briefly talk about this because I have a post coming out on Thursday morning about this. They had a demonstration down in Cuba, a gay pride demonstration, and it was shut down by the government. And it surprised a few of us because we had been led to believe that the Cuban government was trying to, at least on the surface, come across as being very tolerant of let's say, gay Cubans. But it didn't turn out that way. They shut it down. The excuse was that the parade had become more political than about homosexual rights. And, of course, that's not – I don't know how you determine something like that. But the interesting thing is that it got pretty physical in the streets. The police was called in, and many of the people fought back, and it became probably one of the biggest demonstrations that we've seen in Cuba in quite some time. And, you know, the amazing thing to me is, where is Hollywood? I mean, where are all these people who go to Cuba and tell us about their healthcare system? Why aren't they standing up saying, hey, you cannot disrupt a gay pride parade? I mean, they have the right to march. And I agree with that. They do have the right to march. So we'll see what happens. But very interesting. I don't think it's over yet. I don't think it's over yet. I think that this situation in Cuba continues to unfold. And by the way, if for the best coverage that I can tell you, the best coverage on this issue, go to my friends at the Babalu blog. They're the ones who are on a daily basis reporting what's going on in Cuba regarding this particular issue of the gay pride parade and the government disrupting the parade. Well, let's talk about the Attorney General. The Attorney General has been in the news lately quite a bit, and there's a lot of stuff going on around the Attorney General. We hear that he apparently is looking deeply into what gave us this investigation of the Russia collusion and all of that. And I've said it many times. Just I used to say the same thing when the Mueller report was being put together. People would always ask me about it, and I would say, look, let's give this guy a chance to write the report. I think he took too long, but anyway, he did write it. He found no collusion, and that's the end of the story. Then let's give the Attorney General here an opportunity to write his report. I think he's going to be looking at several things, and I wrote about this at the American Thinker today. I think it's going to be – the first thing we have to determine is, what was exactly the reason for starting this investigation? What triggered – who was the person who put his initials or her initials on this investigation? Why did we even have this in the first place? Why were we talking about collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign? Who got that started and for what reason? Now, there is something related to that that needs to be investigated, and that is the allegation that a document that was used to obtain the warrant on Carter Page, he's the person in the Trump campaign who was, I guess, followed by the government, that the document that was used to get that warrant was not a clean document, that it was actually a politically motivated document. And at least the allegation is, and I want to make sure that I give people an opportunity to make their case, but the allegation is that that document, the judges were never told that that was a political document from the other campaign. I mean, I'm sure the judges would have objected to that document had they known that. I also want to know, why was it FBI Director Comey, the one who told us about the Clinton emails? Why wasn't the Attorney General of the United States the one who came out and said, we have looked into this and we have no evidence of anything, or at least not enough information to warrant a prosecution or whatever? Why wasn't the Attorney General or someone in the Department of Justice who told us that? Why did that come from the FBI director, who really should have never been doing that? That was not his job as FBI director to do that. And I think it's important for us to learn about the political climate inside the FBI, the Department of Justice, now even apparently the CIA, the climate in those places, and why there were so many political messages going back and forth. That, I think, has to be looked at. And I hope that the Attorney General looks into all of that, because in my opinion, if we don't, a lot of people are going to lose faith in the whole question of justice in the United States. So let's give the Attorney General a chance to do this, but we need to know what happened and whether it was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. We need to find that out. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you.